Hello, worthless humans. This is Skeletor. You are listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I'll get you, Birdman.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to the Nerd News Network, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net. This show and many other shows are brought to you by people like OffworldDesigns.com. Trust me, some fantastic stuff. Got a new promo code coming up for them next week. And BigInTallMart.com, where if you use the promo code Geek10, if you spend $35 or more, you get 10% off your order. Trust me, that's not too bad at all. So anyway, guys, it is Friday, May 2nd, 2014. Well, it's been a week, hasn't it, guys? And, well, there's a lot to talk about this week, not just in the world of news from the week that was. Some pretty big personal sites to talk about. So let's get the big pink elephant in the room out of the way. It's Free Comic Book Day tomorrow. No, I'm totally screwing with you. As you guys saw on my Facebook and Twitter, which is at Birdman Dodd, for those of you that are interested, this past week, I was informed that I have been let go from Channel Awesome. That means the show Review a Day that was featured on Blister Thumbs and ThatGotTheGlasses.com will no longer be featured over there, as I was quote-unquote not producing enough content. Now, I do go into more detail about the controversy surrounding my departure in a vlog that will be embedded on this episode post. If you wish to know more, like I've said in my vlog, I am extremely gracious for the people I had a chance to work with. The producers over there have been nothing short of a family, brothers and sisters. Less than pleased with management, but if you, like I said, if you want to know more, you can check that out by going to my YouTube channel or checking out the video down below if you want more information. So, now that we've gotten the big pink elephant out of the room, let's continue on with the show I was gonna do as of Wednesday when I found out all this wonderful news, because don't you hate it when you get fired? But anyway, so this week on the Nerd News Network, I'm going to give you my 5-minute review of Spider-Man 2, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm also going to talk about more stuff about Spider-Man, about versions we are not going to see on the big screen. We're going to talk about what do Smee, Super Mario, and Eddie Valiant all have in common. A really cool brain implant that's being developed by DARPA. And the Doctor's going to be fighting the Terminator, and evidently you've put Titanfall in my Call of Duty. So, let's talk about Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 just came out today, in fact, but went to a preview screening, as they call them, which opened up at $8.7 million last night here in North America. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, where do I even begin to start with this? I would call it a wildly inconsistent movie. I quite enjoyed it, whereas my wife Blair did not. So, the setup is, Peter and Gwen are on again, off again. They've both graduated high school. Gwen gets invited to go over to Oxford University over in England. Obviously, heartbreak, blah, blah, blah. And insert the villains of Electro, Rhino, though not so much, and the Green Goblin. So, Norman Osborn has died from some kind of a degenerative disease. Harry Osborn has taken control of Oscorp, and obviously hilarity ensues. What it boils down to is Harry Osborn needs the research that Peter's dad was doing on cross genetics with spiders due to the remarkable ability to regenerate and even regenerate lost limbs, etc. So kind of what Dr. Connors was working on in the first movie, except with lizards, because it will evidently save his life. And so what happens is the villains have to team up at some point. And what we get there is not... Someone described this movie as, it's better than Batman Forever and slightly worse than Batman and Robin. I wouldn't call that necessarily a fair assessment, but it doesn't strike too far off the truth. I will say this. I really enjoyed Jamie Foxx as Electro. Once he's able to let go of that goofy Max Dillon persona and become the dynamo that he's supposed to be, this menacing electric-based villain, he's quite good. In about the back 30, 45 minutes of the film, he's entertaining as hell to watch. Even before as Max Dillon, he's likable, but it comes across as just, I don't know whether forced is the right word, but it seems a little too in your face, so to speak. Dane DeHaan as Harry Osborn, charismatic, really like him, actually. Because I haven't seen Chronicle, so I didn't know what to expect out of this kid. Although, how he becomes the Green Goblin, it happens a little too fast. In fact, they pretty much shoehorn him in the last 5 to 15 minutes of this movie, and he's only really in it for, I'm guessing, probably a grand total of 7 or 8 minutes screen time, and that's maybe. And it's, I don't know, I would say it's worth seeing. They do kind of set up the Sinister Six. Now, despite what the trailers show you, the Rhino is in this for all of about 2 minutes at the very end of the movie. Rhino, Paul Giamatti, they capture him at the beginning of the movie, and then they bookend it by somebody at Oscorp giving him the Rhino battle suit, and he's fighting Spider-Man. And it's cool. I wish, in fact, more of the movie had been like this, but it's funny, and you'll see this when you go see this movie. When the last battle with Electro happens, I want you to think video game, and then watch the final fight between Rhino and Spider-Man. Which one seemed more realistic to you? Overall, I'd give this movie about a 6 out of 10. I think it's worth seeing. In some ways, I like it better than The Amazing Spider-Man, the first one, just because I like some of the action sequences, but I felt like the first one had a lot more heart. This movie feels like about 3 or 4 different movies crammed together and held together with, like, silly putty. But there is an entertaining movie in there once you can get past the layers of crap. So, 6 out of 10, I think, is a pretty fair reading. This movie will do well. I don't think it's going to be the big box office smash that they want it to be, but it will generate more than enough money for it to see sequel after sequel. So, continuing on with the Spider-Man thread. Did you see what I did there? So Andrew Garfield has said he would love to see some big things happen with the franchise after he leaves. And he would like to see Miles Morales take up. He is the Black Spider-Man of the Ultimate Spider-Man comics. Wicked costume, wicked character, and a different take. So evidently, Avi Arard and Matt Tomlick were speaking and to, I think the website was called The Playlist, and they ask, are Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ben Reilly, the Clone Spider-Man, and Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, on the table? If you want a Spider-Man movie every year, why not bring in some of the other variations? No. Arad, no. The one thing you cannot do when you have a phenomena that has stood the test of time, you have to be true to the real character inside, who is Peter Parker. What are the biggest effects on his life? Then you can draw in time you consider today's world in many ways. But to have multiple ones, I don't know. If you remember, Marvel tried it, and it was almost the end of Spider-Man. So Spider-Man in the cinematic realm will always be Peter Parker. Arard, absolutely. Tomlock, as far as we're concerned, the guys who take it over after us, who knows? See, I don't know why they wouldn't just do animated features for that. And they're talking about Marvel tried it and it was almost the end of Spider-Man. Well, yeah, because you forced Sam Raimi to shoehorn in Venom. And then you had the stupid new Goblin. I mean, honestly, if that movie had just been Sandman and you built it up properly, it might have been okay. But trying to put in Topher Grace's fucking Eddie Brock in Venom, come on. Like, that movie has its flaws. Is it watchable? I'd say more or less. But just, how do you fuck up something as easy as Spider-Man? But then again, we're now talking about the Sinister Six movies with Venom getting his own. Supposedly Carnage is going to be in it. And that kind of ties into Rad. I'm actually working on a new rat. I know, holy shit, on the Amazing Spider-Man 2 video game, where they bring in Cletus Cassidy as the Carnage Killer. I don't think the symbiote shows up. I'm not that far yet. I'm about like 3 hours in. Holy fuck, is this game bad. And it's funny, the developer Beanox seems to get steadily worse the more they develop Spider-Man games. But you'll hear that review probably next week early on. I'm hoping to get through it, hopefully by Tuesday. That's the idea anyway. So moving right along down the list here, we have some sad news to report. Earlier this week, actor Bob Hoskins, who you may remember as Eddie Valiant from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Mario from the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Smee from the Robin Williams movie Hook, has passed away at the age of 71. He had died in hospital after a bout of pneumonia, and he'd also been battling Parkinson's disease since 2012. Incredibly sad to hear this guy pass away. I first became familiar with him with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. In fact, Roger Rabbit, for a really long time, was one of my favorite Nintendo games. In fact, I think it was one of the first ones I ever bought on my own. I don't know whether I actually ended up calling the number on Jessica Rabbit's table or not, but I never could beat Judge Doom. Anyway, neither here nor there. I remember seeing the Super Mario Brothers movie in theaters. I think I saw it 10 times. That's right, I'm fucking sad. And I kind of kept an eye on him over the years. I remember he did a movie, and I can't remember what the hell it was called. But he was going to be some rich guy who bought somebody's virginity for like $1 million. I think it was like it was after American Pie, and it starred one of the girls from that. I want to say Tara Reeb. I'm probably wrong on that one. It's probably not Tara Reeb. I don't know. Not Mina Suvari. Maybe it was Mina Suvari. I don't know. Is that a name? I think it's a name. It's a thing. So either way, he leaves behind an incredible legacy. He's definitely left his mark upon pop culture. I remember when he found his marbles in Hook. Or was that? No, that was another guy. But I just remember him being really excitable in that movie. But to me, he will always be Mario and Eddie Valiant. But he'll always be Mario to me. And I always thought he was the perfect Mario. In fact, I'd love to cosplay as that particular alliteration of Mario. So, rest well, Bob Hoskins. I thank you for your contribution to the world of art. Moving on to my next story. This one comes via a leaked trailer. It was supposed to get released over the weekend, but Activision's like, well, all right, well, I guess it's out now. Let's talk about it. And that is Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Well, it stars Kevin Spacey. Literally, it's Kevin Spacey. He's in it. I don't know, it's probably not actually Kevin Spacey. That's probably, it's just the actor, but it's his voice and his likeness in it. And he's evidently some big military dude. And from watching the trailer, it looks like a mix of Call of Duty meets Titanfall. With, like, that Tom Cruise movie. Elysium, is that it? Or am I thinking of Matt Damon? Or the movie that came out recently, or is coming out with, like, mech suits. But not fully covered mech suits. Not quite Elementals from Battletech, but I don't know. And it's them with drones that can turn invisible and thermal grenades and I don't know. It looks like someone was talking about this, a PR colleague of mine, actually. And he says, I'm really excited for this. So I posted on his Facebook. You know, it looks like Call of Duty with Titanfall, but with a better single-player campaign. I mean, obviously, I'm going to play this year. Normally, I get my review copies comped to me from Activision. I got burned last time when I got the Collector's Edition for Call of Duty. In fact, I'm actually staring at Call of Duty Ghosts right now. I don't even think I've taken the camera out in like 6 months. And I'm pretty sure I haven't downloaded any of the DLC I've already paid for. I should maybe get around to that, but I don't have a whole lot of room left on my Xbox. So this game comes out on November 4th of this year. I'm sure we'll have more information about it leading into E3, which happens in just a little over a month. So I guess we'll find out more about Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, a.k.a. It's the Madden series of video games, except with guns. So hopefully they'll bring something new to the table other than fucking dogs. But we'll see. Who knows? Next piece of news, just found out about this a little while ago, is Doctor Who's Matt Smith is going to be joining the Terminator reboot. I don't know if they got a name for it. I want to say they changed it from Terminator Genesis. Now it's something else. But either way, he joins Emilia Clarke, Jason Clarke. Alan Taylor is going to be directing the movie. So far, the cast includes Jai Courtney, J.K. Simmons, Brung Hung Lee, who you remember as Storm Shadow from the G.I. Joe movies, and of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, the advantage of doing a Terminator movie, and the advantage of doing anything time travel, is if you don't like it, it was in a parallel reality, didn't happen anyway, which pretty much everybody seems to ignore Terminator 2 and Salvation anyway. And I kind of like Salvation in some ways, with the exception of Christian Bale. I like Sam Worthington, though, as, I can't remember the character's name now. That's going to drive me nuts. Marcus. Ultimately, it was, you know, if this is the future war we've been waiting since, like, the first two movies to see, who cares? Ultimately, you didn't get a lot of HKs. You saw some hover Terminators. You saw the Moto Terminators. No one cared. And, you know, the Terminator franchise, the rights are bouncing around like a pinball 9 times out of 10. But I guess Matt Smith, he's a very good actor. I'd like to know what he's going to be doing in this movie. Obviously, he's not the star of it, but he will be in it, as Amelia and Jason Clarke are going to be Sarah and John Connor. Although, no relation, oddly enough. So let's keep going down the trail as we come into my final story. I think this is incredible. As you guys may or may not know, my grandfather suffers from Alzheimer's, and likely so does my grandmother, or at least old age dementia. And DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency in the U.S., are forging ahead with a 4-year plan to develop this kind of a memory stimulator. And this is part of Barack Obama's $100 million initiative to better understand the human brain. And what they're trying to do is to treat Alzheimer's disease and probably over 300,000 military service personnel who've suffered brain injuries fighting over in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other theaters around the world. DARPA program manager Justin Sanchez has said this week, if you've been injured in the line of duty and you can't remember your family, we want to be able to restore those kinds of functions. We think we can develop a neuroprosthetic device that can directly interface with the hippocampus and can restore the first type of memories we are looking at, the declarative memories. Declarative memories are recollections of people, events, facts, and figures, and no research has ever shown they can be put back once lost. And it's kind of cool. The device they want to do, it was inspired by pacemakers that pulse all electricity into the brain. And the idea is, they're going to try, you know what, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. It's really, it's complicated, yet it's cool. But they can possibly just, how do I describe this? They need a more nuanced approach, because you can't just pulse all electricity in there and expect it to work. It has to deliver specific patterns, and they can't discuss exactly what DARPA is going to do just yet, because this is just the beginning. But research done on monkeys and rats shows it does. The idea is worked, and they could coax a drugged monkey into performing closer to normal at a memory task and confuse it by manipulating the signal, so it would choose the opposite of what it remembered. So, in theory, according to this other scientist, trying to find his name, Robert Hampton, he's an associate professor at Wake Forest University, the ability to restore human-specific memory, scientists would have to know what the precise pattern is for that particular memory. So, it's possible, and this could be amazing when you think of the other applications for it. Victims of crime, for example, and I know that's not necessarily something you want to bring up, but if they could remember more, I know you can. They can see dreams kind of via MRI machines, or at least they're blurry, but you can tell what they are. So I don't know. I think this is incredible, and the fact that it could help older people who suffer from Alzheimer's, dementia, and other neurological problems restore their memories. I think that's incredible. So, DARPA, I hope you are successful for this and don't turn this into something weird. So, coming up on the site this week, me and Blair are getting the long-awaited review show in. I say long-awaited because we've had to push it back a few times, because we did get some new stuff this week. We got the Veronica Mars movie, and I also have Son of Batman, the new DC animated. So look for that probably on Sunday going into Monday. I do have an interview with someone, Cameron Banks, actually, from, I think it's Fringe Wrestling in Hamilton. I'm going to be talking about the world of amateur wrestling, because I think it's tremendously cool. So look for that next week. Because I love wrestling now. I think it's tremendously awesome. So I hope you guys are watching Extreme Rules this weekend on the WWE app, as it's not available on DirecTV and Dish Network anymore. Or go to your local theater and check it out, because that's what I did for Elimination Chamber. I think what else is coming up next week? Obviously more nerd news. I have an interview, kind of. I have a Google Hangout scheduled with Tara Strong next week and some other members at the Hub. So hopefully I'll be able to record some cool audio for that and pump out a little special for Last Exit to Ponyville. Don't know just yet. Still trying to figure out details for that. And finally, I'd like to get a Twig After Dark going. I was talking with Scotty, so hopefully we'll get something off that happening soon. And I know he's recording something with Erica Sailor Senshi Sabo this weekend in Toronto, so hopefully we'll see that in just a few weeks, if not sooner, for the Super Happy Fun animation, or whatever the hell it's called. So anyway, guys, like I said, be on the lookout for new Rad, and Rad and Twig may be syndicating their content to another website as well. Since my departure with Channel Awesome, I can't share the specifics just yet because I don't know, but I think you guys will be pretty happy that I'm in decent company. So guys, until next time, have yourselves a fantastic weekend. Please check out the vlog below, and until next time, my friends, live free or die hard. This has been ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak, die, holy crap, whoa, where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random, I don't know, maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PRONOBOZO.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listening.